This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 259 for the week ending Saturday, February 7th, 2015. Hello and welcome. I'm Jeff Nielsen, also known as your captain, and also joining me today from Conyers, Georgia, the beautiful Maria Johnson.
Oh, introduce me again.
The beautiful Maria Johnson.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Also joining us today from Tulsa, Oklahoma, is Steve Nielsen.
The average-looking Steve Nielsen.
The, the beautiful Steve Nielsen. And
the barely presentable Steve Nielsen.
And joining us from Canada, then Toronto to be exact, the beautiful Father Corey.
He's so unpresentable that he's coming to you audio only if you're watching the video.
And it sounds like he's coming from us in some tube or something. I don't know, but... Oh, well, and we were hoping that we'll be joined by some other folks in the broadcast, but if not, that's okay. We're going to have fun, just the four of us anyhow. So, Father Corey, you are in where?
I'm in Toronto, Ontario.
Why?
Because I just got off a train. I'm on a vacation, and part of this vacation is riding trains across Canada and the United States. Just got off about 2 hours ago from the Via Rail Canadian. It's their flagship train. It's their transcontinental train. And shockingly, it was early. And I say shocking because this train is notorious for being late, sometimes as much as a day late. They only run it 2 or 3 days a week, so it could be a day late. It's so surprising that this train was early. The crew didn't know what to do about being early. They were actually shocked that they were arriving on time or early. But it's a wonderful trip. I highly recommend it to anybody. If you've got any interest at all in cruises or trains or anything like that, the train itself is made up of 1960s or 1950s era. They're actually 60-year-old cars that they've remodeled. So it's the beautiful old stainless steel streamliner train. The interior is just wonderful. I mean, it's just comfortable. Dome cars, lounges, excellent food. You know, it's really kind of a throwback to the classy trains, you know, if you're familiar with any of them from the 40s, 50s, and 60s, kind of that era of train travel. It really still is a throwback, and it really is a wonderful.
So let me understand this. You on purpose picked to take a train vacation across Canada in winter?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's beautiful. First of all the mountains were amazing with the snow and everything. Oh, they were beautiful. In the summer, this train has 30 cars.
Wow.
This train I was on has 10.
Ah.
A lot less people, a lot cheaper. Actually, and that was a good thing because we could sit back in the lounge car with all the other sleeping car passengers and kind of get to know each other a little bit.
Nice.
Because there was about 30 or so sleeping car passengers on the train. So it was, it was very relaxing, very enjoyable. Like you said, good food, good drink. They had a...
Did it feel like you were in an episode of Mad Men? Were they like serving martinis and things like that too?
Well, they did have some of that. We, you know, when we left Vancouver, we had a champagne reception.
No kidding.
Seriously.
So I keep thinking the 39 steps or something like that. You know? It sounds like a lot of fun. You know who might, you should get Father Jay Finelli to to accompany you or something like that. Didn't you go on to see his little trains? His little
Yeah.
Trains? I shouldn't call them toy.
Yeah, after CNMC in Boston, when everybody else was having fun with the duck boats, I was off at Father Jay's train.
That's cool.
I've always wanted to go there and see that. I haven't done it yet.
They're impressive. They're pretty neat. This has been a fun trip. This is actually kind of the halfway point of the trip. Because from here, then I go down to New York City, spend a couple of evenings there, a couple of nights there, and then back home, basically.
Sweet. Did you hear, I don't know if they still have that program going on, but I think that Amtrak has this thing for writers where if you blog about the trip, they'll let you do a round trip. You can't get off or do anything, but you'll ride the train.
I heard about that, but you got to be like a real writer. You can't just be like me that posts the occasional blog post once in a while. Yeah.
Hey, Father, I have a picture of the dome car. Is that on your particular train?
Yep. That's one of the newer dome cars that actually wasn't on the train, but it's very similar. The ones that I was on, you can see front and back. Like that one, you see it's got a back wall there. But it's very similar. I mean, mm-hmm. that is extremely similar to what we have. So imagine you're going through the Colorado Rockies, and that's the view you have.
Wow.
I like how the two people in this photo are not looking out the window.
Right? Are they on their phones? Because that would be the
No, actually, they're looking
the right picture.
They're looking at a brochure or a map or something. So at least they're not reading like People magazine or something ridiculous. Let's see if I can find it.
One should be on an iPad, and the other one should be on a phone.
Now, let's see. Cool. There's a
picture of the train itself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that looks gorgeous.
It is. Yeah. It is.
I'll be on a train this summer. I'm hoping.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I think I talked about this last week, but my brother and some of my nephews are going to, we're going to take the train from Chicago west to Glacier National Park in Montana.
That's great, because you mentioned you're coming through my area.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's not quite the trip that you're on, but at least it'd be a little bit of train travel. I love the trains in Europe, especially.
Yeah. So
you'll trip to Glacier. You really will.
So are you by yourself, Father, or are you traveling with somebody?
Oh, just me. Just getting away, getting as far away as I can without, you know, actually, you know, just leaving and not coming back. No, I'm kidding.
There was an Onion article this week about how you should just work, you know, at work, you should stand up at your desk and then walk outside and keep going.
It does wonders for your outlook in life.
I'm not so tempted to do that in the winter, but come spring. It's going to be a lot of
the wanderlust kicks in.
Yeah. Oh man. Hey, well, I was hoping that Sarah, the Catholic drinky, was going to join us this morning, because did you guys hear that she is a hipster?
She is a hipster.
Yeah. Find that article. Twitter. Where is it? A Twitter hipster. I know it's here somewhere. Where did it go?
A hipster.
I have so many darn windows open that I can't.
Skinny jeans and her Vans. And what are those glasses she wears? I don't know what this week's hipster glasses.
Okay. The Essential Catholic Hipster Survival Guide. Running the race to obtain the imperishable wreath. And this was a post by someone, a blog, The Essential Catholic Hipster Survival Guide. And let's see, we have several, you know, prominent people in the Catholic world, such as Patrick Coffin, Catholic radio host, blogger, author, dad. Let's see, Patrick Madrid, Father Robert Barron, Raymond Arroyo, our own Lisa Hendy is one of them. Jimmy Aiken, another friend of SQPN, and some others here that I don't know. Let's see, Danielle Bean.
You don't know Danielle Bean?
No, I do. I do. I skipped a couple others. I don't know Anna Mitchell or O.C. Bishop, but let's see, and a couple others that I don't know. Oh, how about this one? Sister Helena Burns? Helena Burns? Hel Burns? And and her husband, Father Claude Burns. Wait a minute, that can't be right.
Her husband is Jesus.
Just kidding. But there is right below her is Father Claude Burns. Yes. Let's see, Sarah Reinhard. How about that? Way to go, Sarah. Sister Anne is on there, nun blogger. And then I'm rolling down the list here. Here's a Catholic drinky, Sarah Vabulous. Father Kyle Schnippel is there as well. And several others. So we'll put a link to this list in the show notes if you're interested in following some of those folks who are apparently hipsters. Not sure what you have to do to qualify for that, but
you have to be cooler than you.
Oh yeah, a lot cooler than me. Well, everybody is. That'd be a very long list.
No. You aspire to be a hipster?
No, I do not.
Is that something you should aspire to be, a hipster?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, what is a hipster? Just cool?
I think that if you wear your uniform, I think that you could be qualified.
If I wear my uniform and then like wear the pants down around my, you know, my knees.
No.
Skinny. Being hip is hip.
Oh.
Yeah, it's hip.
Ah, that's hip, man. I got you.
Yeah, but that's it's, like the it's one thing to be called a hipster, but should you aspire to be a hipster? That's the thing.
Yeah, that's another thing. Do you aspire to be a hipster?
No. Me?
Yeah.
Obviously not.
We're middle-aged, except for Lisa.
There are quite a few on that list that are middle-aged.
Yeah, this is true.
That's what well, this, while being accused of being a hipster.
This just went down. This just went down, 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 down. I have a friend with us today. I have a little friend to join us. Hello.
Oh.
Hello, world. Do you see what it is? This is Pope Francis Bobblehead.
Hello, Poppet.
Because I have the coolest brother in the world. That's why. This is why. This is our new co-host for the day. We'll see the top of his little... What's the yarmulke called again?
Yarmulke.
All I've got is an old phone from the 80s that looks like a gas pump. Nice. Remember all those weird little phones that you used to have?
Pope Francis joins my Mother Teresa bobblehead.
Speaking of bobbleheads, never mind. It's not working.
Good.
It's not playing. I don't know what's wrong with my machine this morning. It's not playing things.
I think it's working just right.
Well, it says it's buffering, but I was going to talk about Paul. Dr. Paul has issued a new episode of his wonderful Saint Cast number 146. Servant of God Jerome Lejeune, physician and pro-life advocate. And if he somehow dropped off your podcasting catcher, iTunes or whatever list for subscriptions, go back and subscribe to Paul's Saint Cast. And
hear the applause.
Yeah, well, I don't know where the applause is.
You don't know where the applause is.
I didn't bring it up. I'm sorry. I'm lax this morning.
Oh, well, speaking of Saint news, did you hear that Bishop Oscar Romero is going to be declared a martyr?
Yeah.
Make him, that automatically is beatification, right?
Yeah, that's one-way ticket to heaven. Do not pass purgatory.
Nice.
And you don't need to collect the $200 because who needs that?
Yeah, won't do you any good up there.
I'm still holding out hope for Father Stanley Rother.
So how's that going? That's the cause process is really, really long, isn't it?
You mean about Father Rother in particular?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that a year or so ago, the Archbishop of Oklahoma City went to Rome and presented the case to the, what's it called, whatever the Council for the Cause of Saints is. I'm not sure the exact name. So I know it's all been done. It's in their court now, and it's up to them and Pope Francis to make a decision. So I don't know if they will or not anytime soon. that would be a fantastic thing for the people, the Catholics of Oklahoma.
No kidding.
And Guatemala as well.
Very cool. Very cool.
All right. Well, it is time, thank goodness, for our first break. So the music is coming up in the background. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening to Catholic Weekend. Again, if you want to help out the StarQuest Production Network with producing much better programming than this, check it out over at sqpn.com/donate. In fact, if you're watching us right now on the Catholic Weekend live page, let me see if I do this right. If I point to my left, I think I'll be pointing over to the right column on the page that you're looking at over there. And right there, you can see that you can become a friend of SQPN. It's very convenient. And join the millions of others, no, thousands of others, no, hundreds of others who have joined us to be friends of SQPN, whom we appreciate so much. So it's right there. And also, don't forget, if you're doing some shopping on Amazon.com, to click the Amazon link for your country, and that will bring you to Amazon, and it'll look just like it always does, except that when you make your purchase, a little tiny bit of that purchase will go toward our organization. And actually, sometimes it's, depending on the item, it's a significant amount, percentage-wise and monetary-wise. And it really does help out. All that stuff adds up, and at the end of the month, they send the StarQuest Production Network a check. And so it's a big part of helping us out. And also, if you're itching to do your own blog or podcast, or you want to sell some stuff online, you're going to need a web host. And we highly recommend our partner, Bluehost. And you can see that over there, right next to the to us over here on sqpn.com/live, too. And you can sign up with Bluehost Hosting. And again, we get a nice little fee, or I don't know what you'd call it. Not a kickback. I don't want to call it a kickback. What would you call it?
Referral fee.
A referral fee. Thank you from them. And again, it's a very generous one, too. So if you happen to be looking for some web hosting, we highly recommend Bluehost.com. So there you go. That is our first break, and now we're back. And any more discussion about being a Catholic hipster and Twitter? Anything? No. Okay. Let's see. And we talked about Paul, Dr. Paul, and his latest entry in his wonderful Saintcast podcast. That was one of the first Catholic podcasts out there. I'm not sure exactly when Paul started, but it was pretty early on in podcasting.
He started, I think, like within a month of Father Roderick and
Greg. Yeah.
It had to have been.
It was like right
2005.
2005.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think both Father Roderick and Greg started in 2005, so it had to have been, you know, like spring of 2005.
Yeah. Same year.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. And here we are, 2015, 10 years later, and that's why we're celebrating Catholic New Media, the 10th anniversary.
How long have we been doing this show now?
Huh?
How long have we been doing this show now? Since what, about 2010?
September of 2009.
No.
Yep.
Really?
Really?
Yep. Wow. September or October, somewhere in there, the fall of 2009, because that's when I started my Catholic pilot show.
It's like a weird marriage.
Yeah. So let's see. We're in. We've completed 5 years, right? Is there something that I'm not looking at that everybody is laughing at?
You didn't hear what I said.
What, a weird marriage between what?
Technology, I guess. With the airwaves.
Yeah, really.
Oh, did I say something inappropriate?
No, I said something inappropriate for a change. Well, not for a change.
Well, on air for a change. I'm sorry. It all went right over my head. My bad.
And with that, people are wondering if we're going to follow the Paul Camerata post whenever mode.
A lot of people are hoping.
No, I don't think we'll fade. I think we'll just crash. We're just going to say, oh, enough of this. Our listeners will run in and say,
done.
I was kind of afraid to play this because of Father Corey's train adventure, but are you continuing on a train down to New York, or are you taking a different form of transportation?
Nope, the whole trip should be by train if there's no problems and I end up having to get bused somewhere, but yeah, it should all be by train. And I said that in the chat room kind of at the beginning of, well, it'd be appropriate if the show was a train wreck since I just got off a train.
Exactly. So we hope that that you're nice, safe, and sound on the rest of your journey on that train.
Me too. It's been enjoyable so far, but preferably this be the only train wreck I have to deal with.
I hope so. And Maria, what are you giggling about?
I'm sorry. I brought up my pick of the week to make sure that I had the link to it.
Uh huh.
It's making me laugh again.
Oh boy! Can't wait for that.
That's not good.
Not good, huh? All right. Well, let's talk about something Catholic. How about in the District of Columbia? Let's see. This is from the USCCB's blog. Two recently enacted laws in the District of Columbia are, quote, an unprecedented assault upon our organization and violate the freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and freedom of association protected by the First Amendment and other federal law, said representatives of a number of national and local organizations, including the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. And I guess the laws that they're talking about are the Reproductive Health Non-Discrimination Amendment Act of 2014. That kind of just rolls off your tongue. Let's see. Requires organizations to hire or retain individuals whose speech or public conduct contradicts the organization's missions. And let's see what else. And then another law. I think I skipped the first one. This is just wonderful. But anyway, a couple setbacks as far as religious freedom and the rights for organizations to hire whom they want to hire, and right. People that believe in what that organization stands for. And basically, the District of Columbia said, "No, you're going to have to hire people whether they believe in what you do or not."
You know, it sounds like that first one sounds like a response to the cases across the country where teachers sign, for example, usually you see it in schools, but it could also be in dioceses and things like that. They sign a contract that says that they will live to the best of their ability by the teachings of the church. And then they become pregnant out of wedlock. They enter into gay marriage, things like that. It sounds like this is a response to that. And I wouldn't be surprised if the second one is a law specifically saying you cannot discriminate against someone just because they got a gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something along that lines.
You know, I wonder how that's going to work in reverse. There was a case here in locally in Atlanta where a fire chief got fired because he wrote.
That's right.
Yeah, he wrote a Christian book. And it was, I think, like a work ethics book that was grounded in Christian teaching. And I probably his problem was, probably the reason it was drawn so publicly is that he did give it to his employees. But, I mean, I don't know all the facts about that particular case. But, you know, I mean, it's going to have to work in reverse, too.
Yeah.
I wonder when that's going to happen.
Never. Yeah, the Reproductive Health Non-Discrimination Amendment Act of 2014 prevents religious institutions, faith-based employers, and pro-life advocacy organizations in the city from making employment decisions consistent with their sincerely held religious beliefs or moral convictions about the sanctity of human life. It requires organizations to hire or retain individuals whose speech or public conduct contradicts the organization's missions. It requires them to.
You know, I mean,
that's amazing.
I don't,
so what if they're not qualified, but they have all the...
Well, that doesn't matter, Maria.
Oh.
I guess, you know, an analogy I would use I can't see this law standing, that it'll go to court. I can't see it standing. But an analogy I would use is, I work for Apple, let's say, Apple Computers.
You do?
I'm publicly there. Yeah, I do. You didn't know that was my other job?
No.
And I'm out there.
It has a long Old Testament history, priest.
Yeah, exactly. And I stand up, you know, and I'm publicly saying, oh, don't buy Apple, buy, you know, HP. How long do you think I'm going to stay in that job? About 5 minutes after I say it, if that slowly. I understand where legitimately you could say that someone who's advocating against your company on a economic level can be grounds for termination. You know, obviously you warn them first, like, you know, you work for Apple, you need to be promoting our products, even if you don't totally like them.
You don't have to warn them first. No, you don't. You can fire people.
Well, some states you do, believe me. Montana is pretty strict about labor laws, so some states you do, but either way,
you can in Georgia. I'm just saying,
still be grounds for termination, because you could say that their advocacy of a different company or a different position is detrimental to your corporation's performance, and that is grounds for termination. Actions doing that, but yet if someone does it for a school or for a pro-life organization, that's not the case. I can't see that standing in court, if nothing else on First Amendment grounds, but
yeah.
At least I hope not. I hope not.
Yeah, me neither. Well, I didn't want to bring up something kind of dour and negative like that, but you know, it's something that we have to pray about, I think, and hopefully all that will be challenged in court and overturned. By the way, I was looking at the chat room, and Thomas Pringle is in the chat room. Unfortunately, I didn't pull up the appropriate sound for that, but he's asking everybody to pray for all the seminarians at his seminary as they enter a day of silent reflection for our monthly day of recollection.
Oh, cool. So,
hello, yeah, Thomas.
Those are wonderful experiences, prayers that it turns out well for him.
Let's see.
We used to have those when I was at seminary in Papua New Guinea. And they were, you know, it was always tough for the first year seminarians to kind of get into that routine. But after a while, they really appreciated it.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of miss it. We would have, every year, we'd have a couple a day retreat at Mount Angel Seminary that was silent. And I really kind of missed that. You know, yeah, like I said, at first it's hard to get into, but once you get into it, it's very restful.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
I miss those.
Well, hey, Maria.
Yes, sir.
I was looking at Facebook a couple of days ago and saw some beautiful pictures of you in there with various... let's see, horns on your head and a halo and some other things. What was that all about? Something to do with a book?
My book. My book has a title.
And can we...
I don't know if I want to share it today.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know what? I think I will. I just need to get the subtitle right.
Okay. Well, you don't have to. You can wait.
No, I can do it. Okay. My editor, Heidi, asked me, when are you going to finally announce the book title? But I needed to, you know what? Let me wait, because I want to see what the cover looks like.
Okay. We'll wait.
But that's just a little teaser.
So basically what we're saying is that we're making progress in the development of the book. Okay. Anything else? Okay. So how's your week been going otherwise besides that?
Oh, it's been going well.
Good.
It's been very status quo kind of stuff.
Okay.
I'll be speaking in Boston next month.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be neat. So on education, on girls in STEM. in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Thank
what
you.
You may ask.
Down with STEM.
Teacher, hey, what are you talking about?
Up with STEAM. Up with STEAM.
Well, I am actually, that's what I was going to say, as an English person, I've been pulled into the STEM thing because we've moved to STEAM, which is science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics.
Arts, arts, arts. We must have arts.
We must have the arts.
Yep. As a tech geek, putting arts in with science and technology and engineering and mathematics just doesn't seem to fit.
Oh, no. It's a perfect fit. It's a perfect fit. In fact, most of those folks who are mathematically and engineering minded also are very musical. There's a real interesting correlation between the two. I'm doing it on blogging and writing and that part of it, but I bring in the music as well. So yeah, it's really cool. It's really a cool thing. I'm glad you said the STEAM part.
Well, I just think that, you know, if we're not educating people to have an appreciation for the arts, then mm-hmm. we're really shooting ourselves in the foot when it comes to our culture.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of that, at the school that my younger two went to for a while, Holy Spirit here in Atlanta, the arts program they were both involved in, Chris in the drama program, and that was a big part of his development and his education. And just learned the other day that the drama department is being shut down, and the drama teacher, Mrs. Mengert, was basically let go, and which was just devastating.
It's disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big problem across a lot of the schools, is that they're letting go of the arts programs, and all of the research really points to how essential having the arts is to kids develop their creativity. You know what I just read? You know, I just read a Nikola Tesla biography this last week.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I was fascinated with his creative process, how his mind was always working. The title of the book had something in it that was something like blah, 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 blah. He invented the 20th century.
Wow. You mean it wouldn't have happened if it weren't for him?
A lot of the technology was because he wasn't afraid to dream, and he was very...
Wasn't there some kind of a issue between him and Edison or something?
Yeah, he and Edison were not even just the patents, just the fact that Edison really just hated him and got ugly with him about some things. But, well, that's one side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he was he really felt Tesla really felt that alternating current was the way to go, and Edison and his investors had already gone
direct,
in a different direction.
DC.
Why did you just cricket me?
No,
no, that was actually that 1980s phone that I have going on.
I didn't know what
anyway,
that.
Anyway, it's a neat. It was. I don't know if it's still out there, but it's available for free. It was available for free on Kindle.
I love his car, by the way. You know, he's doing great things with his car. How long has he been?
It could have been.
It was cool. The music was cool too. Oh, the Tesla videos where they make music with them.
Yeah.
Those are cool.
Yeah, I really got into. Well, I just always wanted to make my hair stand on end by touching the.
Yeah, the coil, Tesla coil, I think that's what they call that. I mean, where would we be in horror films without, you know, his invention, you know?
It's alive!
And by the way, it kind of sounds like Father Corey is in some kind of a Tesla coil. But if you're just joining us, Father Corey is not in Malta, Montana. He is in Toronto, Canada, in the midst of a vacation, train vacation. And he is using his smartphone to join us today on the Hangout.
Jeff knows how wonderful hotel Jeff and Steve, actually all the other panelists, wonderful hotel Wi-Fi can be. Ha ha ha!
It is getting better, I have to say, though.
It really is.
But it's still it's a long way from being.
Yeah. No, it's not going to be anywhere near normal. I wasn't going to lug my microphone. I wasn't actually even expecting to be here. So I'm just going to be right now.
The truth is that you're broadcasting from the shower in the hotel, right?
No. That's why he has the video camera off. Thank you.
Mike, you're in a stairwell in some creepy train station.
Mike Kuipers is interjecting again in the chat room. We were talking about Tesla. He said he invented static cling, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Along with the 20th century. Anyway, so you're speaking to a group of educators then in Boston, you said, or Austin?
In Boston, Massachusetts.
Boston with a B, Beantown.
I hope it's not snowing when I get there because I'm going to be there for a long time.
Oh.
It's a neat conference. It's League of Innovations, which is very technology heavy on how to use it in education.
Very similar to League of Avengers.
The Justice League. Maybe, hey, do you think I could fly if I wore my Wonder Woman costume, you think that they would let me get away with that?
Sure.
Yeah, you think so? I'd get fired on the spot.
So, Steve, what have you been up to lately?
Well, I was actually home all week, which was something new for me. but not a whole lot, actually. I'm going to be in San Antonio next week for the Texas Music Educators Association. A huge conference of all sorts of people involved in music, public school music, college music. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it.
Were you at the Georgia one last month?
No.
Oh.
No. We can't go to all of them.
Well, my son sang in that one.
He did?
In the college choir, yeah.
In the holler band?
I don't know what the heck they call it.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to it because, you know, of course, in Texas, they do everything big. So there's thousands and thousands of people are going to be there. But I'll have to stand at our booth for 4 days, which I find very exhausting.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Get very comfortable shoes.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll see lots of people that I know, and I'll meet a lot of new people and have some good food. Because we'll be right down there on the Riverwalk. Yay!
Nice. Ooh,
that's very nice.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll be warm weather.
Well, hey, I have some news, and perhaps many of you listening to the show also received an email about this from Diana Von Glahn. She's been a host along with her husband David on our show. We need to have them back, actually. Maybe we can have them on soon so that they can talk about this, which is, of course, you know that they're the Faithful Traveler show on EWTN, and they are trying to raise some money on Kickstarter. They have a Kickstarter campaign going on, and they have 39 days to go. And what they're doing is they're raising money for a travel series exploring the history, tradition, and spiritual significance behind all 21 of the California missions. And they're going to call it Faithful Traveler Exploring the California Missions. And right now they are trying to raise $50,000, and they've so far reached 12,820. And I think I read somewhere, maybe on Twitter or somewhere, that they said they had a backer that that put in $10,000.
Great.
And not only that, this person wanted to
more.
This person wanted to donate the entire $50,000 to back this show, this production, but the rules at Kickstarter only allow $10,000 per pledge, maximum. Wow,
that's pretty awesome, though. That's really amazing. Awesome.
Can you just not go in and make another pledge?
I don't know. You could give me the money, and then I'll make it for you. So let's see. They have a video here. Let's see if it'll play on the show here. Hear a little bit about this.
I'm Diana Von Glahn, and I produce and host The Faithful Traveler, a travel series for television that explores Catholic churches and sacred sites around the world. And I'm here to ask for your help in producing our next series on the California missions. 21 beautiful and historic churches that start in San Diego and go all the way up to Sonoma. Recently, Pope Francis announced that he's going to canonize the founder of the missions, Fray Junipero Serra, in September. We hope to be able to produce our series in time for this exciting event, the first canonization on American soil. Our goal with The Faithful Traveler is to explore the awesome churches, shrines, and sacred sites that the Catholic Church has all around the world, to tell the stories behind the people and the devotions that they honor. Our first series, The Faithful Traveler in the United States East Coast Shrines, featured some of the most beautiful and historic churches and shrines on the East Coast, in Pennsylvania, Maryland, New York, and New Jersey. Our second series, The Faithful Traveler in the Holy Land, featured the sacred sites in Israel and Bethlehem. Both series were broadcast on EWTN and are available online. They've been seen by people all around the world. We're currently producing a special on Pope Francis's pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and a new series on the sacred sites in Portugal, both of which will be released later this year.
Bem-vindo a Lisboa. Welcome to Lisbon.
All right, I'm just behind the media center here in Manger Square, and I could not help but notice this beautiful group of people here, all from India with these beautiful outfits. So I wanted to meet.
Okay, if you want to watch the rest of this, it's kickstarter.com, and we'll have a link in the show notes to get the exact address for this. But it's just do a search for The Faithful Traveler. I'm sure you'll find their page on Kickstarter. Again, they're looking to, and it's really, according to what I read, that $50,000 is really just a small fraction of really what it's going to cost to do this full series in production. But at least this will get them started. And if you are interested in helping them out, please head over to or use the link to donate to this Kickstarter project.
Dude, let me tell you how excited I am about that one, too. My daughter took me on a very limited little tour of that when we visited her in Monterey last year. She just drove us up the coast, and we just stopped at all the little missions that we could along the way. I can't wait to see what she does with this.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Wouldn't that be an incredible pilgrimage to be able to put together after the canonization, to be able to go from, rent a tour bus and just go from site to site to site?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous. So, I love how she said his name, too.
Yeah. So I can't even attempt to do it the way she did.
Junipero Serra.
Junipero. I just don't have that in me. I'm not even going to try. So
I think we should all go to Italy and just take an immersion class just for the fun of it.
Okay. When do you want to do that?
Yeah, let's do that. Let me put my entire life on hold.
Really? Could be worse, right?
It could be worse.
Pasta, wine. We can handle that.
Look, I just want to go and have the gelato at what's the name of the place? I sent Steve a random text message one day. What's the name of the
Old Bridge. Hey, I found a gelato place here in Tulsa. It's some guys that went to Italy, got trained, bought all the equipment, and they import all their ingredients. And it's
the
closest I've found anywhere in the U.S. to Italian gelato. It's right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yum.
Well, you know, I have a science experiment going on in the foyer of my home. I'm making limoncello.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yep. Yeah. Every time John passes by it, he goes, well, how long are we going to keep those urine specimens up there?
So
is it
going
to be ready by CNMC?
Yes, it's going to be ready by CNMC.
Is that some kind of a liqueur or something?
Yeah, it's an after dinner. Well, it's an aperitif, right? An after dinner.
Nice.
Liqueur.
Refresher.
Are you saying that there's going to be drinking in Atlanta for the CNMC?
No.
Okay.
There's going to be drinking at the Johnsons. There's going to be drinking of limoncello at my house. No, I'm making it. It's really cool. The worst part was cutting the lemon peel just right. You have to get the zest without the pith, and that's kind of tough. It's been really beautiful watching the oils just ooze out of the peel. It's really neat.
Have you ever made any coffee liqueur?
Yes, she has. I've actually... I've received it as a gift from Maria.
Oh.
She makes awesome coffee liqueur.
I have a couple of bottles of that at home right now, actually, if you want some of that.
Can I tell you a story about having some of that in Spain?
Tell me about it. On ice cream, or did you drink it straight?
Well, we drink it straight. But it was so my two buddies and I, before we started the Camino de Santiago de Compostela, we took the train and I'm trying to remember his name. Brother Giles.
Oh, Brother Giles, yeah.
He's not brother anymore, but he invited us to stop in Valladolid with the brothers of St. John Hospitaliers.
And we stayed with them.
And there was about four or five of these really old, elderly brothers there, and one of them makes liqueur, and he brought out the stuff, and we had some limoncello, and that was pretty good. Then he brought out this coffee stuff, and it nearly put us all under the table just a sip of it, and he laughed. He was like every time, you know. it was awesome stuff, but it was, man, did it really
it's the simple syrup that you put in it, you know, because it sweetens it and it tastes so good, and you just keep drinking it.
Yeah. But I just thought it was funny, these elderly brothers, they didn't have much, you know, much left to do except make stuff to drink.
Life to me. Oh.
Please to you.
I'll just stick with home brewing like Sarah, you know.
Yeah, we're like all moonshiners on the show, aren't we?
I don't make any
the
of it.
The revenuers.
I just drink it. I don't make it anymore. Although I did get a gin kit for my lovely wife Linda for Christmas. She hasn't used it yet, but basically you use a high grade of vodka, and then use different little spices to kind of, it's a sort of, I guess they call that bathtub gin, not distilled gin, because you're already using a distilled beverage to start with. But I'm hoping that she'll be able to, you know, in her spare time.
we can get her some moonshine.
I don't know. Probably not a good idea.
Moonshine, that hurts.
Well, I'm using Everclear for the limoncello, and it's, man, it's 95% proof. I opened the bottle, and John was like 15 feet away, and he goes, cap that right now.
Yeah, don't light a match.
Yes,
keep it away from the water heater.
Open flame.
Wow. Everclear. Never heard of it.
Pure alcohol.
Never heard of it. Never been to a frat party in college.
No hunch punch for you, huh?
Don't know anything about that. All right. It is time now to change the subject.
Yes, indeed.
The picks. It is time for the picks of the week, and my pick is Everclear.
Everclear.
95. Wrong.
Hey, can I go first?
Go.
I actually picked my pick of the week like 2 days ago, and Lynn can attest and back me up on that, because I sent her an email. I said, no, don't faint, but I'm actually picking my pick of the week right now. And do you remember this person? Her name is Jennifer, married to Greg. Let's see, what's her last name?
Willits,
that's it.
With an I or with an E?
With an I. Willits.
Whippets.
And she and a young lady named Brooke Taylor who apparently is somebody that is a blogger and is also at one time or another was working in radio at The Fish somewhere, 95.5. Was that in Atlanta? Do you know? Or was that, she's up in Ohio now. Anyway.
I don't think it was here.
Okay. The two of them have gotten together and created a new podcast. That right. That's what everybody needs, right? Another podcast to subscribe to. And I think that you should probably check this one out. And I'm going to try to play a little bit of their
peace
opening.
And love. Peace and love. Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, wow, wow.
Now, welcome to Good Things Radio with your hosts, Brooke Taylor and Jennifer Willits.
Well, hello and
okay,
welcome
there
to
you
the
go. There's a little bit of a teaser of Good Things. Could you hear that, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure I had the right knob turned up. So looks like Jennifer and Brooke have come up with a cool new podcast called Good Things Radio if you want to check it out. And let's see what they say about their show. Brooke Taylor, formerly of 95.5 The Fish, and Jennifer Willits from The Catholics Next Door are joining together to launch the brand new Good Things Radio with Brooke Taylor and Jennifer Willits podcast. And you can find that at goodthingsradio.com. So there you go. That's my pick of the week.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And did you recognize that guy, that announcer voice? Yeah, no, that was Greg Willits, and he'll be our opening keynote speaker at the CNMC 2015, our Jubilee celebration in Atlanta on June 7th, 2015. And it's very, very soon. Registration will be open. And there are a couple people that I know very well that are really working hard to get this thing going. And it's a lot more work than I thought it was going to be. But yeah, shut up.
Oh, yeah. Please, can you get that? Ha ha.
Anyway, so that's my pick of the week. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
Okay.
As I hope you know, Lent is starting, in about a week and a half?
Mm-hmm. The 18th.
And I would, my pick of the week is the daily Lenten reflections that Father Robert Barron is doing over at A Word on Fire. So you can sign up to get a daily Lenten reflection in your email, and I highly recommend that. That's my pick of the week.
Excellent. That's a great pick.
Everything Father Barron does is just fantastic. I just, I can't afford to buy all of the things that he puts up, you know, all the different little videos and everything, the video series. They're all terrific, but it's like I'd spend a fortune if I bought everything he did. I don't know how he does it.
Oh, and he's also the rector of a seminary, too.
Yeah, no kidding.
Excellent. Yeah, that's a good pick. Father Corey.
Well, my pick is something I got to see when I was in Seattle. I had a layover on the train in Seattle. Now, my brother works for the EMP Museum. This is the big music museum down by the Space Needle in Seattle, done by Paul Allen. It's a big modern building. You know, you can't miss it because the monorail goes right through it. And it's a really cool museum. They always have really neat kind of contemporary exhibits and stuff like that. Well, one exhibit that just opened up there last week is called Star Wars and the Power of Costume. And it's all these costumes from Star Wars. So all these different, you know, characters, stormtroopers, Jedis, all these different costumes. No Jar Jar Binks, thanks be to God.
Oh, no. There needs to be Jar Jar. No!
You'd have to have a big room for that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So there's all these different costumes. Again, it's from all six movies. And it explains behind costumes. So, for example, it shows the Emperor, how he's moving from when he first shows up in the first movie to the, you know, the cloak, the dark cloak where he's hunched over. It shows the Jedi, where some are lighter and some are darker. It shows the stormtroopers and talks about how they made the costumes. And it's just this amazing exhibit of showing the messaging and the art behind the costumes of these movies. And talking about how they put them together and everything and how they planned them out. It's a national exhibit that started in Seattle. I actually got to see it the first week it was open, because it just opened the Friday before I was there.
That's so pretty cool.
Having, you know, connection with a brother who works there. So he got me in there for free. It was rather it's worth seeing. If it comes to a town, I'm sure it'll be in Atlanta. I'm sure it will hit, you know, New York and Los Angeles and some of the other big cities in our country. If you're a sci-fi fan or...
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Did we lose him?
Yeah, I guess we did.
Oh.
Let me see if I can let me get back on that window. And yeah, he's gone.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, well.
So I imagine he was going to say, if you're a sci-fi fan, it's really something you should check out next time.
I think that's exactly what he was going to say. You know, I think the kids were showing some pictures of that to my wife, Linda, who is into costumes. And in fact, right now she is fitting young ladies for a ballet that's going to take place next month. That's where she is. Every Saturday, she spends most of her day over there fitting the kids, and then during the week doing the all the ballet costumes and tutus and all that kind of stuff. So she would be really interested to see something like that, costumes. Oh, look, Father Corey has joined us again. Oh, nope, he tried to. Nope. I saw his little thing pop up, his icon or whatever you call that. Okay, well, at least he got his pick in.
Yeah.
And let's see, Maria, you got your pick.
Are you
in as
ready
well,
for my pick?
Okay, yes, I think so. Not sure.
Have you ever been to the Bored Panda website? They do some ridiculous things there. Bored Panda.
Never heard of it.
BoredPanda.com.
Okay.
Anyway, it turns out that a caricaturist named Rodney Pike has released a series of portraits of Mr. Bean inserted into historical portraits. Oh.
Okay, now, I'm sure everybody knows who Mr. Bean is, right?
And apparently he has another character, the Black Adder. Is that a thing? Anyway, there are some... I have been looking at this for too long, laughing. It's just...
His facial expressions are just...
The
amazing.
Mona Lisa. The Mona Lisa is epic. And no one is safe. You know, he's killed Rembrandt in this, and it's just hilarious. You've got to go see it.
Okay, well, you're gonna give us a link, right? We'll have that in the show notes.
In the show notes. BoredPanda.com / Mr. Bean Historic Portraits. You could probably just Google it.
Yeah. Probably could do that. Yeah, he's an interesting guy, isn't he?
Oh my gosh, he's terrible. Anyway, that's it. I'm laughing. I'm already looking at the pictures again and dying laughing.
Well, that's a great pick, and something that, you know, laughter is good for your health, right?
Yes, it is.
All right. Indeed. Well, no doubt you hear the music coming up in the background, and that means it's getting close to the end of the show. Maria, how can we find out more about you in the digital spectrum?
Well, follow me on Twitter at Bego, B-E-G-O, and I've been blogging quite a bit lately, and in fact, I've got a review up of that Nikola Tesla book that I read, and look at my pictures at BegoJohnson.com, another cup of coffee.
All right. Father Corey at FatherCorey.com, right?
That's correct, and also F.R. Corey Stica, like spelled S-T-I-C-H-A.
All right, excellent, and everything Esteban?
Everything is stayburn.com. I promise I'll get back to it.
Hey, you had the whole darn week off. Let's get to it. And I'm the airline pilot guy, airlinepilotguy.com. Hope everybody has a great Catholic weekend. Take care and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.
There we go.
Well, that was a random show.
It sure was. Was no organization whatsoever. We were all pinging all over the place.